Welcome. This is Pastor Miranda Reiser with King's Chapel, West Virginia, where we experience life with people, power, and purpose. Thank you so much for joining our podcast today. To stay connected, check us out on Instagram or Facebook, and you can also visit us online at kcwestvirginia.com. Now, here is today's message.
Salvation. That word salvation is sozo, and that it's such an important word, but it means so much. It means so much for the believer, and I believe that even as some of us are disciples of Christ and Christ followers, one of the things that we're doing is we're in this place of learning about Him every day. We're in this place of learning to know more about Him, and I want to talk about that today because it's important that we understand the same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead. He rose, lives in us. He's alive in us. Amen. He's alive in us. You know, this time of the year, it's interesting because you can see documentaries. I don't know, has anybody seen any documentaries about the burial, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus this week? Nobody in here? Every time I ask people if they watch TV, everybody's like, I don't think anybody in our church watches TV. So you know, it's okay if you throw a hand up or not throw a hand up. Hey, Minister Lehow, thank you. But you'll see a lot of programs on TV talking about. Talking about Easter, talking about the resurrect, talking about the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus. You know, they portray Jesus. They portray him in such a way of, you know, he was a man, he was God. They'll talk a little bit about, you know, they portray him as even a good person or a good teacher. Now, I believe Jesus is all that, amen? I mean, Jesus, honestly, he's got superpowers. He is the greatest superhero, amen? Jesus is, you know, far above anything that we can even think or even imagine. Hallelujah. And you'll see this. You'll see it. You'll see the world portraying Jesus as God. You'll see the resurrection of taking place, but the thing that the Lord quickened me around was what about after the resurrection? What about after the resurrection? Now we know Jesus was here for 50 days. We'll celebrate Pentecost, and there was a mighty outpouring, you know, on the day of Pentecost. We're not going to talk about that today, but. But this power, this is what I want to talk about today. I want to stress this so much with the church today because there's a real living power living on the inside of you. Amen? There's a real living power living on the inside of you. Not that we would just see Jesus in a documentary and think, oh, it's a day that we go celebrate or we have dinners and things like that. Yeah, praise God. I'm thankful for those. I'm thankful for the things that we'll do this afternoon. We'll go out and we'll have a picnic on our church property. Amen. 9.1 acres that the Lord has given us. Amen. We'll go and we'll do that. I'm thankful. Those things are very important. But I would say this. On one hand, the resurrection is a fact to be believed. It is a fact to be believed. On the other hand, it's also an experience to connect with the resurrection power. It's not only that we believe that the resurrection took place, but we also believe as Christians that we can connect with this resurrection power. If you have one without the other, if you believe in the resurrection as a historical fact, but never experience the resurrection if you don't experience the resurrection personally, or you think the resurrection has power only, but you don't believe that it was a fact, you come away with a form of religion with no power. No power. No power. I've got good news, though, that on this Sunday, you can leave here knowing that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Jesus is coming soon. We let's leave nothing on the table that you can come to a place where you truly know Him. But then from there, it's that resurrection power that raised Him from the dead, that it lives, that it quickens us, that it prepares us for everything that's ahead. Now I'm going to tell you this today. We haven't arrived. None of us have arrived. When we get glorified bodies one day, that's the arrival. But this process that we're in, we're being sanctified, we're being set apart, we're being made in the image of Christ Jesus. That's what it means to be a Christian. A lot of times people think, well, you can get saved and just make heaven. I believe that. I believe that you can get saved, love Jesus, but I got good news for you today. There's so much more than just getting saved. Than just getting saved. Romans 8:11. Brother Ryan, you can throw that up. Romans 8:11. It's one of my favorite. I love Romans 8. Romans 8:11. You in the NLT? Praise God. The Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead, it lives in you. And just as God raised Christ Jesus from the dead, He will give life to your mortal bodies by the same Spirit living within you. Praise God. You know that song we sang earlier? The same power. The same power. We sang it twice, right? That crushed the enemy. That same power that crushed the enemy, it lives in you. You know, think about it. That power that crushed the enemy's head, guess what? It lives in me. So, you know, I know that as a believer and as a Christian, as somebody that's born again, that the enemy has no hold over me, has no dominion, has no authority. All authority was given to Christ Jesus. Then from there, guess what? It was transferred to the people that call upon His name, and they call Him Lord. They crush the enemy. The same power. That same power, it lives inside of me. Amen. We sang that song earlier. I'm going to give you three things today. Just three things. Pastor, you're going to just do three things. We're going to try to do this. But I want to talk about this because, see, when we talk about power, number one, first, you have to have the power to believe. You have to have the power to believe. You're going to find that kind of power, a lot of times, it's attached to our faith. What do you mean believe? The Bible says this, that if anybody calls upon the name of the Lord, they shall be saved. That's something that you know also is done with confessing out of your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord. Please hear me today. That we would know Him. Amen? Yeah, amen. That we would know Him. It was interesting because in 2022, you know, a poll found that 81% of people believe in God. Praise God. Amen. In 1972, when they first started doing polls, it was 90%. I'm not moved by polls. I'm moved by Jesus. But I found this very interesting because see, I'm contending in church. I want you to hear this. I'm not contending on 10% or 9% or anything like this. What I believe God's going to do in this hour, He's going to build His church. He's going to build, the kingdom of God is at hand. He's going to build His church. And I'm looking at a group of believers, and I believe a nation of believers that will contend for revival in 2025 and over these next two or three years, that we would contend for the things of God, for God to move. The power to believe. Does anybody believe there's more? Amen. See, I have that. I have that in me. I believe there's more. It's not just for me to settle in and say, I'm saved and I'm on my way to heaven. Many weeks ago, you guys remember it, and I'm not leaving this campaign for the church. Who you bringing? Because until we decide in our heart, till we decide in our mind, the one thing that Jesus cares about is people. Until we get that it's a revelation that has to be driven. Not driven by fear, but driven by what God wants to do. That same power, you know, it's the power that sends our teams all over the place. Four different facilities. The testimonies this week. Brother John and I went to a new facility this past week. Seven salvations. Why do we do this? Because we believe there's power in the Word. We believe that everybody should have the opportunity to hear the gospel. And we're going to showcase some of the things that we're doing. It excites me. Even the reports I got yesterday, what the communion being taken in these facilities, people getting healed, people getting touched, people getting saved. You know, even in some of the facilities we're in, Brother Stephen said, you know, there was somebody that passed away in one of the facilities they were in. But he followed up and said they were saved. They were saved. I'm thankful that God's used this church like this. But I truly believe that it's just the beginning. A nation that believes, a nation that will experience his power, that we would experience his power. You know, in the context of this scripture in Philippians 3, in verse 7, you know, Paul says, he says this, and even just to go back and look at this, he says, I once thought these things were valuable, but now consider them worthless because of what Christ has done. Yes, everything else is worthless when compared with the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I have declared everything else, counting it all garbage. And I love the other translation. I think King James says rubbish. I've counted it all garbage or rubbish so that I could gain Christ. You know, the things of this world, there's nothing wrong with possessions. There's nothing wrong with vehicles. You need a car to get to work. Amen? Some of you want to drive a truck, drive a big one. If you want to drive a big one, praise God. You have nice things. There's nothing wrong with having nice things. Nothing wrong with having a nice house, having a savings. There's nothing wrong with all that. There's wisdom in all that. Proverbs, pull it down. Read. You can get into the place even with Proverbs to understand that God wants to bless you. He wants to bless you, but not leaving behind. What Paul's saying, not leaving behind and placing more emphasis on worldly things, possessions even, than Jesus himself. Paul said, counting it all as rubbish so that I could gain Christ, that we would gain Christ, that we would leave here today with the revelation that Christ is alive. And that power... That power is upon us to believe. Upon us to believe. You know, I think sometimes we don't realize what's in us. We don't realize sometimes that power that's on the inside of us. We get stuck into those, you know, we get stuck into that mindset. Well, it's, you know, just life, just living. And we don't realize what we can truly tap into, Brother Donnie, right? Tap into it. We don't realize what we can actually possess being in him. God is a blesser, and he wants to bless his church. He wants to bless his people. You know, I believe in healing. I believe in prosperity. I believe that God wants me to be in good relationships with people. Amen? That, you know, my relationships with people, God wants those restored. He wants me to live holy. I believe that. He wants me to live set apart and sanctified. Oh, Pastor, well, you're talking about rules. No, I'm not talking about rules. I'm not talking about anything like rules. Because, you know, when I said yes to him, you know what he began to do? He began to help me. I've shared many times, you know, I think I got saved more the first 3 months than I ever did my whole entire life. Because every time there was an altar call, what did I do? I ran up because I felt like I needed the more of Jesus. I needed to work some things out. Welcome. See, that's the piece of it. We think sometimes we have to have everything figured out, everything cleaned up. No, he does the cleaning. you play a part. You play a part in that. Which leads me to my second point. You know, let me say this, because in Isaiah 53:3, it says he was despised and rejected by man, a man of sorrows and acquitted with grief. Hallelujah. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we did not esteem him. Surely he has bore our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him. Why do we believe this? It's because this resurrection power, the things that he did on the cross, he did it for you and me. Your healing is available because of what he did. Your salvation is available. No, guys, none of us make it. If he didn't go to a cross, he didn't die. Amen. He wasn't buried, and the resurrection power. The story ends right there. But it doesn't end with us. Number two, the power to change. You know, this is what I love about the gospel. When the power of God comes upon a person, there's a quickening that comes upon a person to make changes in their life. That's a good thing. Isn't it good that God got that? You know, aren't you thankful that you're changed? Yes. It's that power. You know, we think power, you know, we can get so, you know, and I don't want to be religious about this, but we can get so whatever. But my lands, think about the changes that God did in your life. The heart changes. You become nicer. Some of you, amen. You're a lot more friendlier to be around after you got saved. You were a jerk before you got saved. Nobody in here. We're talking about the other church down the road. But see, you know what happened was the gospel, it changed me. And it will change you. The gospel will absolutely 100% change you. You know how I know this? Because I remember the first time I read the word when I was younger, 16 or 17, didn't understand it. For whatever reason, I felt like I needed to dive into the book of Revelation. Not a good thing to read when you're unsaved, because you just begin to... I developed the fear of the Lord, though. I will say that, because I thought, man, something's happening here. I just don't know what's happening, but it looks like the world's going to end one day. Could it happen soon? Maybe. I don't know. But then when I got saved, you know what happened? As I read the word and I got saved, I was like, man, I feel something. I feel something. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Like you read the word of God on the other side of things. It's like, you know, the power, that resurrection power, there's power to change things. There's power to change mindsets, to break down strongholds. That's the power of God living on the inside of you. I don't want to be this way anymore. I don't want to act this way. I don't want to talk this way anymore. There's the power to change us. You know, you're quickened to make changes in your life. You know what? You know, one of the things I realized about one of the greatest changes in the Lord, that I felt like being around people. There was a point in my life, I probably for 4 or 5 years, I isolated myself. I didn't like being around people. But you know what happened was, you know how many people have walked into our meetings directed by God? Brother Ray, he's on the camera. He 6-7 years ago, when we started this church, walked into a men's meeting and said, is there a men's meeting here? I heard there was a men's meeting. Somebody told me about a men's meeting. Directed by God. Amen. Brother Stephen walks in. You know, I felt like the Lord told me to go to church here. Walks into a men's meeting. I like our men's meetings. Amen. You guys, you're not a part of men's. Come be a part of it. God will help you. Then, you know, they walk into church for the first time. You know, right, not into church, but into a meeting. And they connect to God. And in both of them, I feel like God wants me here. There it is, the power to make change. You guys understand, he does the changing. We participate in the change. That's the key. That's the real key in unlocking things in your salvation. Amen. You know, the key, I would say one of the keys is not to ignore the Holy Spirit. Not to ignore the Spirit of God that lives and dwells on the inside of you. Listen, if you'll pay attention in the simple things. You know, one of the most simplest things that I felt like the Lord showed me early on when I got saved. You got to be in the house of the Lord. I wasn't a pastor. I was a heathen. How's that? I was a heathen. Trying to figure it out. Still had stuff in my life I had to get rid of. That's how I was when I got saved. Had to quit drinking. Had to quit doing, you know, quit doing stuff. Things that God, I needed God's help with. That's why I went to the altar so much. Amen. Thankful for an altar. You know, at our new location, we're going to have a big altar. Amen. Yeah. Amen. I even thought, I was looking the other day, it's like, maybe we can put a post across the, those churches, the old churches used to have, you know, the, what were they called, across the front of the church? I don't know. It's an altar, yeah. But, you know, like where people would just come up and kneel and pray. Kneeling, I don't know what you call them, amen. Maybe we just need to have some sections where I think bing bag chairs would work better, but praise God. However you come, you come. Praise Jesus. Power to change. Power to change. It's in the simple things. I think a lot of times, you guys, please hear me. I see this as a simple gospel and a simple truth. I really see it as a simple gospel and a simple truth. God is good, the enemy's bad. God is good, the enemy's bad. There is an enemy. There's an enemy to your faith. There's an enemy that will come into your life and try to wreak havoc in your life. Yes, amen. But Jesus, the Bible says that he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus said, but I have come to give you life more abundantly. I like that side better. Amen. Don't you like, I like that, I like the other side, what he's done for me. That I would have life and life more abundantly. I know there's an enemy, but I know that in Christ Jesus, I know that I can have an abundant life. Father, thank you that, Lord, that I thank you for long life in this house. I pray over this house today in Jesus' name that people will live out their years according to you in Jesus' name. I just felt to pray that today. Praise God. Some of you might be in here. Maybe you're fearful. Maybe you thought you were checking out. You're not checking out. God needs your help. I got good news. God needs your help. Pastor, how do I help? Come see me. Amen. Praise God. You can be a Christian, guys, for many years and not experience the fullness of his power. I'm talking about the power that lives on the inside of you. See, there's power to change you. Don't ignore the little things that God will, you'll be quickened to change in your life. You know, and that's why I say that one of the greatest changes I had to make because, and I've shared this testimony, my wife, when we made a decision to go to church, I was late the first morning we went to church. You know, I was kind of hoeing around and, and she got all three kids ready. I mean, we had babies loading up the van all by herself and I'm still kind of just walking around. So you're going to church, I'm going to come. And she's like, I'm leaving. I'm not showing up late. I'm leaving, and I said, okay, I may get my... And when I walked back out of the bedroom to go get in the car, the van had already left with all three kids. But see, I knew something at that point. See, I had a decision to make. See, people don't... They don't... This is how simple... Do I want to stay married? Yes, amen. I want to stay married. Then there's power to... common sense would be, okay, pay attention to this. God will help you in these things. There's power in your life to change things. So next week, guess what I did? I helped get the kids ready for church. I didn't want to be that guy everybody was talking about. Well, she's coming to church and guy's staying at home. How did she get all three of those kids screaming and yelling, kicking, throwing things? Anyway, I'm going back a few years, praise God. But see, there's power to change. Power to change. Number one... There's power to believe. Believe God for the miracles. Believe God for the healing. Believe God for the big things in your life. Amen? Believe God for the small things. Power to change. And lastly, the power to know. And the power to know him. The power to know him. That's what Paul was saying. He said, I want to know his power. I want to know his power. Church, I want to know his power. Church, I want you to know his power. This world, most people don't realize that this world is seeking power. People love the supernatural. It's all over. You see it everywhere in the world. People are striving. They're seeking power. But I'm going to tell you that there's one true God that you can tap into, that you'll have all the power that you ever need. Honestly, it's interesting, and it's not in my notes, but Wicca, I don't consider it Wicca is witches, whatever, warlocks. It's one of, and I don't consider it a faith. I don't consider it really anything. I just don't. But it's one of the fastest growing groups of people in our nation. You don't tell me that people aren't searching for, people aren't trying to connect to other things. There's demonic things that are taking place on this planet today. There's demonic things that happen in our communities that a church would walk in power in the fullness of. Amen. That we would learn to take authority over principalities, over demonic strongholds. Amen. You know, if you ask people today, you ask a generation of young people, you know, are there demons? Are there things like that? Are there spiritual? They'll all tell you, yeah. The problem of it is at the age of 3 and 4, it finds its way into the video screens. It's not in my notes. It finds its way in social media. I always tell parents, please pay attention to what you're viewing, what you're watching. You know, the Cartoon Network, let's just go there. You know, it may not be the healthiest. There may be things that kids are viewing, you know, trying to tap kids into the supernatural. You know, and it goes to this last point because, see, the power to know Him, the one true living God. You know, I got into some of Dr. Morocco's stuff from, I believe it was actually from the 80s, and he taught a series, it was called Realities. And I pulled up this section because he had real truths, and one of them was real power. And he made this comment, and I thought, man, this comment really does. It still holds true today. This was some 30 or 40 years ago. You'll find that pastors and ministers, they find a vein, and they'll teach and they'll preach, and they want their people to know. It's the same thing today. I want you to know Him. Not the things of the world, but to know Him. You know, he said this. He said, and this would have been likely in the 80s, he said, we have this human potential movement. You know, what is that? It stresses the power of man. You find it in organizations. You find it in schools. You find it everywhere. And what he was basically saying is, you personally, you yourself have the power to control your world. To make whatever changes you want to make, you have the power. Now, there is a fundamental belief in that. That we can choose to do whatever we want to choose to do. But see, the problem with that movement, that problem with people focusing on, you know, self, is that they don't look outward. They're always looking inward. That we would learn to be outward Christians, amen? That I'm not just saved for my own sake, but I'm saved because God wants me to be able to be a witness or to go make a disciple, amen? You know, and he said this. He said, the problem is that it makes man the center of all things. Man is not the center of all things. Jesus is. Life more abundantly. It comes through Him. Well, Pastor, what about this belief? What about that belief? I'm dealing primarily today in the resurrection power of Jesus Christ, whom said, you can have life and life more abundantly. You control your own destiny. You can make whatever world you want to make. You know, you'll find one of the things that I believe you should hustle as a Christian. You should be at the top of the game as a born-again believer. Christians should be billionaires. Christians should own businesses. You guys, you understand, we should be at the top, not at the bottom. Even just alone, the promises that come along with God and God's Word, we should be at the top, not at the bottom. You know, the last thing Paul says, he says, in verse 10, Philippians 3, verse 10, I'm staying in this text. I want to know Christ and experience the mighty power that raised Him from the dead. See, that has to be our prayer. Make that, if you're born again, if you're not born again, today you can get saved. You can give your heart to Jesus. If you've faded away in anything, you can return. That's good. That's good news. Amen. But, you know, see, Paul's saying this in church. This is what I'm saying to you, that this is what Paul was praying. He says, I want to know Christ and experience the mighty power that raised Him from the dead. Continually. It's not a one-time thing. Continually. We've been talking about fire in church, right? You know, you keep the, you fan the flame. You keep the fire, you keep things stoked. You have to keep things stoked in your life. you get idle, stagnation, whatever it might be, you know, where does the enemy, always will see a place in that. I've got a plan for you. Do nothing. Just stay home. Don't go pray with your neighbor. Don't sing that song. I want to know Christ and experience the mighty power that raised him from the dead. I want to suffer with him, sharing in his death. It's very interesting because, you know, you think, well, is this really an Easter message? Yeah, absolutely. It very much is an Easter message. I want to suffer with him, sharing in his death, so that one way or another I will experience the resurrection from the dead. This is what Paul said in verse 10 and 11. Someone say, that doesn't make sense to know his power, his resurrection, and sharing his suffering. What does that mean? You know, honestly, it's perfectly logical. If you go into the world resembling Jesus, I'm talking about the world. If you go into the world resembling Jesus by his resurrection power within you, if you turn the other cheek, if you love people who are unlovable, if you always tell the truth, what will happen? You'll find the sufferings. You'll find the persecution. Because people will look at you and say, oh, you're holy now. Oh, you holy, holy. That's what they used to say in Hawaii. Oh, you holy, holy now, huh? Oh, boy, you holy. Going to church, huh? You make you holy. Yeah. Learn to defend the faith. Those persecutions, those sufferings, yeah. To love the unlovable. Anybody ever done that before? Yeah. Man, see, that's the Christian walk, right? That's that power. That we would know that power. See, there's no way I can tap into the Jesus in me if I'm not paying attention, if I'm not doing the simple things. You know, I've said this before. You know, if I told my wife that I loved her in 1998, thank you for always helping me remember when I got married, Brother Brian, Brother Eric, Sister Erica. If I told my wife in 1998 that I loved her and I never told her again, I never spent time with her. I never was there. And I ignored that on the inside of me. How's that going to work out for me? Not very well. Not very well. That we would know him. That's what Paul was saying. That we would know him. You'll find that when you love people that are unlovable, in telling the truth, if you turn the other cheek, have you ever had to do that? Have you ever had to turn the other cheek? Somebody lied about you? Somebody treated you wrong? You had to walk in forgiveness? You've been hurt? You've been offended? Man. Guess what? It was nailed to a cross. That we would know him even in the sufferings. I'm going to tell you, being a Christian and loving Jesus is so much easier than being a heathen and loving the things of the world. It's so much better on this side. There's peace. There's joy. There's a strength that you can have in God, in Christ Jesus. Minister, if you would. You know, there were two stories that I thought about. I thought about the life of Jesus, and I thought about the time before his crucifixion in John 13. In John 13, and many of you will know this story. In verse 3, yeah, you can throw it up if you get there real quick, but I'm going to go ahead and read it. You guys can listen. It says, Jesus knew that the Father had given him authority over everything, and that he had come from God and would return to God. So he got up from the table. He took off his robe. He wrapped a towel around his waist, And he poured water into a basin. Then he began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that he had around him. And when Jesus came to Simon Peter, he said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus replied, "You don't understand now what I am doing." See, this Peter didn't understand. He didn't understand what was actually taking place at that moment and at that time. So he was putting his trust in the very words of Christ, because he hadn't received the fullness of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus is saying here, he said, Jesus replied, he said, "You don't understand now what I am doing, but someday you will." Peter pipes up. Peter, a little cocky, a little boastful. "No," Peter protested. "No," Peter protested. "You will never, ever wash my feet." Jesus replied, "Unless I wash you, you won't belong to me," Simon Peter explained. Then he said, "Why don't you wash my hands and my head as well, Lord, and not just my feet. Wash all of me." It's a very profound moment. It's a very profound moment of Jesus, the perfect sacrifice, bringing himself down to a place. And that's what he did on the cross. But even at this moment, his disciples, Jesus knew what was getting ready to happen, but he pulls his disciples in and he grabs a basin of water and he grabs a towel and he begins to wash their feet. That's what Jesus has done for us. He's cleaned us up when we didn't look so clean. Or he will clean us up when we're not so clean. In John 11, I find these passages so powerful. And this was Jesus talking to Martha. He said, "I am the resurrection and the life. Anyone who believes in me will live, even after dying. Everyone who lives in me and believes in me will never die." Do you believe this, Martha? I ask this to the congregation today. Do you believe this? "I am the resurrection and the life. Anyone who believes in me will live. Anyone who believes in me will live." The Bible says it's appointed to every one of us to die. We all will die one day. You can die with resurrection life, knowing that it's not over. See, I think that's the thing. Sometimes we live. You're not going to be here forever. You're not. Praise God. But that same power that raised him from the dead, if you're not born again today, you can be. It will become alive in you. It'll help you. God will help you. You'll get to know him. There's three things there's real power. There's real power that will come and live on the inside of you. You'll start not to ignore the things of God. You'll begin to believe in the one whom is called Jesus. Transformation takes place at salvation. Transformation. From glory to glory. And I love this because, see, the process when we get saved, it is that, from glory to glory. Man, some of you've overcome some great stuff, right? Some of you guys have I mean, seen God show up and do the impossible. That's his business. He is in the impossible. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet this morning. He is in the business of the impossible. There's one thing we've seen already this year. And even just trying to move this location, you know, I don't like ups and downs. I don't like that. I I don't like that. I don't want to live that way. I don't want to live from mountaintop to the valleys. I want to stay on the ridge. Amen. Amen. And I believe that in Christ Jesus we can. I am the resurrection and the life. Anyone who believes in me will live even after dying. Everyone who lives in me and believes in me will never die. And he was saying, he says, the only one who unites with me in faith becomes spiritually alive and is transformed from glory to glory. And you know this process, it goes on and on. The process of salvation, it goes on and on. It's the beginning to a glorious life. If everybody would this morning, if you would, just bow your heads. Thank you, Father.
This is Pastor Brad, and we just want to thank you so much for joining us today on our podcast. And if you have questions, you can reach out to us on Facebook or Instagram, or check out our website at kcwestvirginia.com. Now, the Bible says that whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And even in closing today, I want to give you this opportunity. Maybe you've never said the prayer of salvation. Maybe you've never connected your life to Christ Jesus. You know, Romans 10:9 says that if we confess with our mouth and believe in our heart that Jesus is Lord, you shall be saved. So just right now, if you feel in your heart that you would like to receive Jesus Christ, just go ahead and say this prayer with me. Say, Dear Lord Jesus, I ask you right now to come into my life. Father, I believe and I confess my sins before you. Father, I ask you to come into my life. Make me brand new. Wash me. Cleanse me. Forgive me, Father. And today, Lord, I choose to make you Lord of my life. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' name. And if you said that prayer today, you know, do me a big favor. Connect with us. We would love to hear about it. God bless you and have a great day.